Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am the tech editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. Across from me, sitting there with a bemused expression, as usual, would be senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there!
And today we want to talk about a very interesting group of people, but I think you have something to read to us first.
Yes, actually, this topic comes to us courtesy of a little listener mail. This listener mail comes to us from Jack, and Jack says, "Dear Tech Stuff, I believe a discussion on the subject of 4chan, the Japanese image board, and the internet group Anonymous is more than overdue. They have been in the news several times and are very important in the internet community. Please consider my request. Thank you, Jack." All right, Jack. I actually wrote back to Jack earlier. He requested this early in November of 2009, so we're just now getting to it. The reason why we're slow getting to it, well, there's a couple of reasons. One is just that we have a lot of topics on our topic list that, you know, to work our way through. But another is that we had to really think about whether or not we were going to tackle this one because the subjects are somewhat controversial.
Yes, definitely so. As a matter of fact, you wrote about this not terribly long ago.
Yes, I did it under a pseudonym. No, I didn't. I actually put my name to it. Well, in a way, I wrote about a related subject.
Yes.
Right? Because, again, this is controversial on multiple levels. Let's start with the very basics with 4chan before we talk about anything else, though.
That's true. Actually, the idea behind 4chan is not particularly controversial at all.
No, it's like many other websites on the web. It's was designed to be a community.
An image posting community primarily.
Yes.
Rather than a lot of other message boards in which you would post, written material. Theoretically, the idea was, you know, I guess the idea behind it being something along the lines of a picture is worth a thousand words. You would post a photo or an image of some kind,
right,
to express your thoughts.
And they were mainly, in the case of 4chan, it was all about really kind of a Japanese animation as well as manga, the illustrated. Essentially, they're like comic books or graphic novels.
Yeah.
But you know, they range from very simple stories for kids all the way up to material that's specifically meant for adult consumption. It's not, you know, these aren't necessarily comic books for little kids. A lot of people hear the phrase comic books even today and still think, oh, that's something that little kids enjoy. But in fact, you know, they're just like in the United States, the comic books in Japan cater to all different age groups and demographics. True. And 4chan was kind of a place where people who enjoyed this sort of art could share that kind of enthusiasm with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the interesting things about 4chan is that it would allow people to post content without any identification whatsoever. You didn't have to register a handle or anything like that in order to go to 4chan and contribute. Which is very different from most other communities. In other communities, of course, you want to establish an identity. That's how you make friends. It's how people know to contact you. It's how you can start up conversations. On 4chan, you could do it completely anonymously, which would theoretically protect you if you were to, say, I don't know, post material that might violate copyright.
Right. And I wanted to point out too, when you mentioned that there is adult art, we're not talking about pornography
necessarily,
right. Because you're just talking about adult themes.
Sure, yeah.
Because that's one of the few. I mean, even though you can post things anonymously, one of the, you know, you're not theoretically supposed to post pornography, if I'm not mistaken.
Not unless, except in a couple of the rooms within, or the sections in 4chan do allow you to post that kind of stuff.
All right. I was under the impression it was completely forbidden on the site. So it's only in very specific areas.
Yeah, very specific areas. It actually tells you which areas are meant for mature audiences. I kind of hesitate to use that word considering some of the content that shows up on 4chan, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Of 18 or older. Let's say there are certain sections that are only meant for 18 or older. Although one would argue that I think most of the people who are on those sections are not that of that age group, based upon the content and commentary that you find within those sections.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of getting ahead a little bit.
I didn't mean to get ahead. I just trying to clarify the adult.
Sure. Like Chris was saying, yeah, the adult themes don't necessarily mean pornography. I mean, it's the same way as I would call like Law and Order an adult show.
Right. Because there's violence and
It just has themes that children don't grasp.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's more sophisticated than what a child considers entertainment. So same thing with these comics and cartoons or anime. I mean, people are going to get upset because I'll call it a cartoon or a comic book, but I'm just trying to give an analog for people who are unfamiliar with the art forms. Or I could just call it Japanimation. Hey man, that's when I was a kid, that's what we called it.
I remember that. I was saying you probably earned yourself 10 listener mails right then and there.
What, for calling it Japanimation?
Yes.
I used to watch a lot of Japanimation. I enjoyed Japanimation.
I remember when there was a section of the store that was called Japanimation back before anime became as popular as it is.
Before anime became,
but it actually had that label in the store.
Yeah. Well, and anime is definitely a more appropriate term, because not all of this kind of animation comes from Japan. Unfortunately, people would use the term Japanimation to mean animation coming from any Asian country, which of course is, it's not really accurate, but at any rate. So 4chan's a community that is mostly based around that, although people began to bring in other interests as well. So it began to flesh out a bit, right? It wasn't just things that had to do with anime or manga. You had people who would bring in stuff about video games and other kinds of pop culture entertainment, even music, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a specific channel where anything goes. It is the random channel, the slash B channel. And it is this channel that probably has gained 4chan the notoriety that it has. When people say 4chan and they're talking about things like controversy or trolling or anything like that, they're really mainly talking about this B channel, the random channel where anything goes. Because I think Obi-Wan Kenobi would describe this channel as a wretched hive of scum and villainy. I'm not making any kind of judgment on the people who go there, but I will say that they enjoy winding each other up.
Well, you're not the first person to have made that exact comparison. I actually found other references using that exact phrase to the random channel.
It's 4chan. Probably in people's signatures and things like 4chan, B channel, a wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's one of the things about the internet in general. A lot of websites produce communities of like-minded people, people who have similar interests. And it makes sense that, you know, people who like to wind each other up, as you say, would want to gather somewhere. And this is just an opportunity for them to do that.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think that the people who are posting in that channel are particularly sinister or mean spirited. They're more mischievous than anything else. Yeah. Now, sometimes this mischief boils over into acts that are that go beyond mischief into the realm of being criminal acts, or at the very least questionable. So it goes beyond just like, haha, I pulled a prank on you, to, wow, you've actually caused damage in some way, whether that's, you know, through a calculable monetary unit or psychological damage or emotional damage or whatever. But they enjoy pushing people's buttons.
Yeah.
Mostly they're pushing each other's buttons, because a lot of the shenanigans that go on in the random channel on 4chan, that's where they stay. Yeah. They pretty much are going back and forth. It's a group of people who have not necessarily identified themselves in any way. So it's hard to get organized when you do that. I mean, it's not impossible, as we'll get to when we get to Anonymous, but it makes it a little more difficult. And,
right.
I mean, this hasn't stopped them from creating some pretty popular ideas that eventually kind of took a life of their own and became internet memes.
Yeah, you might be actually surprised to hear some of the trains of thought that have escaped from that area and made their way across the internet and even onto national TV, as I have seen. And I'm not sure that, you know, some of them are really pretty funny, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I mean, things from some of the things you've seen online or that you've probably seen online, either they got their start on 4chan or they were popularized on 4chan and then immediately exploded on the internet. Things like lolcats.
Oh, yes.
So the
Icon has cheeseburger.
Right. Yes. You see a cute picture of a cat with a funny caption written in some sort of sub-English, apparently the kind of English that cats think in.
Kitty pigeon.
Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yay. So anyway, that you can attribute that to 4chan. You can also things like Rickrolling.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Which is a should we explain?
Oh, well, yeah, sure. For the two people out in the audience who have never heard of Rickrolling.
Well, it is possible they know what it is and don't know that it has a name.
Okay, go for it.
Yes, this is when you are given a video or actually it could be virtually anything. Somebody gives you a phone and they've changed your ring to Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up. You've been Rickrolled. Or somebody says, you have to check out this cool lolcat video. And, well, it turns out it's Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up video. And then there's the float from the 2008 Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade from Cartoon Network, in which Rick Astley actually stepped out and sang the song himself on national TV.
He actually Rickrolled the entire Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
I love that. Of course, by that point, it had actually become a stale joke.
Yeah, it was already, yeah, some people's. By the time Thanksgiving 2008 rolled around, it was considered to be pretty old. And then a year later, we start seeing the iPhone worm go out that replaced people's jailbroken iPhone background image with Rick Astley.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, seriously, how much longer is this joke going to go?
I'm sure it will come and go in spurts, as these things do.
I'm sure it will. But, I mean, the other thing that we can count on is the fact that eventually there'll be another weird meme that'll come out of 4chan.
Mm-hmm. Now, so I was going to point out, too, speaking of the lolcats meme, that they did an interview. Actually, Lev Grossman of Time Magazine did an interview with Moot, the founder of 4chan, mm-hmm. about the lolcats, because that appeared on 4chan, and then somebody else basically took the idea and ran with it and made the site, which sold for $2 million. And basically, Moot said, well, you know, that's cool. That's fine. He didn't seem to be, at least according to Mr. Grossman, he didn't seem to be too overly concerned that he wasn't seeing a penny of that. But it's amazing how some of these things take off and then leave the channel and, you know, leave home and start their own families.
Yeah, yeah. Well, getting back to the random channel. So first of all, I guess we should have said this earlier. I don't recommend you go to 4chan and check out the random channel. In fact, I advise against doing it. Mm-hmm. If you are going to do it, don't do it at school. Don't do it at work. You might want to turn images off on your computer, because
they're posting stuff deliberately designed to get your goat.
Right. And not only that, but I mean, you can, in the random channel, you can encounter things like pornography. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be there. The only thing that is specifically against the rules in the random channel is no child pornography.
Ah.
Anything else is considered fair game. So everything other than child porn is fair game. And so, I mean, that's a lot of stuff, people. And I'm telling you, you know, some of you might be thinking, hey, that sounds kind of cool. It's
an interesting experience.
It's disturbing. Yeah. When I was researching how internet trolls work, I specifically went to 4chan to check it out, because a lot of trolling is attributed to 4chan. Because, again, we're talking about mischievous people who like to push buttons. So sometimes they'll go to other internet communities specifically to cause a little mischief and raise a ruckus. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you want to go to the source. You go to 4chan. Well, I had to turn my images off almost immediately as soon as I got there, because I realized that if I did try to surf that while at work, even though it was research, I would likely have to watch that video from HR again.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have to do that if I don't have to. So anyway, the kind of stuff that you'll see on a random channel, if you were to go, includes lots and lots of very dark humor. I mean, like gallows humor stuff where people like, if you remember, like after any huge tragedy, almost immediately people start making jokes about that tragedy as a coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people that is just so insensitive and taboo that it's immediately offensive. That's the kind of stuff you're going to find in the random channel.
Again, pushing buttons.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if someone famous has just recently passed away, I guarantee you the first place you're going to see a joke about it will be on 4chan in that random channel. You know, as soon as someone's heard about it, they're like, how do I make a punchline where this person's name is the joke?
Right.
So that's the kind of material you'll find on there. However, something kind of unusual really came from 4chan that was not necessarily an internet meme, but a group that has occasionally tried to mobilize to protest specific other groups and other policies.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I'm talking about Anonymous.
And that sort of takes its name from the ability to remain anonymous while on 4chan.
Yeah. And
essentially.
The members of Anonymous aren't all necessarily members of 4chan or people who contribute to 4chan.
Right.
The Anonymous actually spans across several different communities. And some people who didn't even belong to any of those communities just heard about it, agreed with the general principles of Anonymous and kind of went along for the ride. So it's like this enormous anonymous mob of internet users.
Yeah. They don't necessarily know who one another are.
Yeah. Either. Yeah. You don't necessarily know the identity of other members. There is no centralized leadership, which is both a blessing and a curse to this group. Mm-hmm. Part of the blessing is that if the group as a whole has done something to tick off some other organization, there's no one specific you can point to and say, this person is to blame.
Right.
There's no accountability.
Right.
But part of the curse is also that it can be very difficult to organize a group to do any particular task because you don't have a centralized leadership.
Right.
You have to be able to suggest in an anonymous way a course of action and have enough people agree who, you know, share your same perspective, agree to it, and for that to catch on. So it has to kind of spread virally.
Yes, but it has been effective because they've been able to stage protests in cities around the world.
Yes. Now, the biggest target of their protests has been the Church of Scientology.
Right.
Now, members of Anonymous, and here's another issue with Anonymous. When you have a big Anonymous group and there's no centralized figure, there's also no centralized voice for the group.
Right.
You have what the majority of the group seems to believe in, but then there are people around the edges who may have different beliefs or a stronger conviction about a certain principle than others, and will take things to a greater length than the group itself might want to go.
Right.
And so that's what, how do you make a set of rules to govern a group where it's a group filled with people who are all anonymous and no one has accountability? It's really tricky.
Right.
So arguably you would say that the original group, anonymous group, when they started Project Chanology, which is the specific initiative aimed against the practices of the Church of Scientology, they were moderate in their approach in the sense that they said they were not targeting the church as a church.
Right.
They were targeting specific practices that the church allegedly follows.
Right.
So they alleged that the church was, for instance, bankrupting its members and right. brainwashing people, or at least separating them from their support system and cutting them off from the outside world so that they become completely dependent upon the church itself.
Right. Right. I remember seeing that they were, that those were the things that they had accused the Church of Scientology for, and taking people away from their families
and also accusing the Church of Scientology itself of using very draconian tactics to silence any kind of protest, any sort of anyone who would say anything against the church would receive an enormous amount of pressure from the church in various ways, and really it would range from the threat of lawsuits to actual criminal acts committed against you or harassment against you and your family. So you know, you're talking about a group of anonymous people with no sense of accountability and an organization that is being accused of some pretty scary tactics. This is like the stuff of movies here. I mean, you know, you don't normally think about this kind of stuff happening in real life, and yet it is unfolding in cities around the world throughout the year. I mean, you'll find hear about anonymous protests, usually somewhere in the vicinity of a Church of Scientology location. If the area in which they are protesting allows it, many of them will wear masks. And many of them have adopted the Guy Fawkes mask used in V for Vendetta. Right. The whole idea of this is kind of standing up for the individual, down with this tyrannical organization sort of thing.
Goes with the theme.
Yeah. Now, the group also says that if it is not legal to wear a mask, to not do it. I mean, don't break the law in your efforts to protest the church. And the reasoning behind that is you're more likely to do more harm to your cause than to help it.
Yep. And that, I haven't seen any reports that they've done any, you know, physical damage or broken any laws necessarily. And in fact, I remember reading that at least one protest, they brought cake and they were offering cake to people basically, I think, is a way of saying, look, you know, we're just saying we don't agree with their practices. We just want some attention drawn to this. Although they are, at least in one case, I remember reading that they were attempting to have the tax codes changed with regard to the Church of Scientology, so that they are
sure,
you know, that they are actually trying to achieve that one, at least that one end goal, rather than doing any, you know, serious harm to it. They're trying to change the way the government sees the church.
Yeah, and there are several YouTube videos that are attributed to Anonymous. This is kind of funny because when you think about it, anyone could create those videos, whether they are part of Anonymous or not.
True.
And some of these videos are, you know, just they're very blunt, and they lay out what the group's complaints are against the Church of Scientology, why the group is organizing protests against the Church of Scientology, and it's, you know, just very straightforward. Others are a little more sinister and spooky. And here's where it really gets kind of crazy. I mean, really crazy. You get the Church of Scientology saying, hey, look, this proves that Anonymous are, they're terrorists.
Yeah.
You know, they are trying to use terror to cow us into changing the way that we operate. Whereas Anonymous is saying, hey, that's not us.
Yeah.
Our policy is outlined in this video over here. That's what we think. We aren't the ones posting that. And here's the thing is that you don't know if it's someone in Anonymous or not. Because like I said, there may be people in Anonymous who think that the group's policy doesn't take a hard enough stance.
Right.
Or here's an alternative. There are just some mischief makers who are posing as Anonymous just to stir up trouble.
Yeah.
Like they don't care one way or another if Anonymous achieves its goals.
Right.
What they care about is pushing buttons, getting back to that. So you can't really even tell what the motives are behind the people who are posting these things. Or, you know, you may hear of a report of the Church of Scientology saying that, that someone hacked into their computer systems and they'll say, well, this has to be Anonymous. Well, it could be. It could be that it was a group of people within Anonymous who took that initiative. But it could also be that it was completely unrelated and they're, and Anonymous is the scapegoat. I mean, again, here's the trouble of having a big group of people with no centralized leadership. And, you know, arguably you would say, well, according to the quote unquote official Anonymous approach, and again, it's hard to define what that is. But according to that, any such attacks would be against the group's principles. But, you know, again, you don't know. Maybe it's people on the fringe of Anonymous who are trying to up the vigilante activity. Maybe it's just someone who wants to cause as much mischief as they possibly can. I mean, that's why it's kind of hard to talk about these folks. I mean, they're very clever, maybe too clever for their own good in a way.
Well, they're so decentralized too that it's kind of hard to pin down, you know, a core set of values and beliefs that Anonymous represents.
Right.
You know, because they're so disparate.
And the group itself has also been accused of other activities besides things that are not related to the Church of Scientology at all.
Right.
Other kinds of mischief. In some cases, it was a kind of civil disobedience in order to protest a particular set of policies. In other cases, it just seemed like it was kind of a mean-spirited joke that was done for no other reason than to cause a stir. And once again, it's impossible to say which ones, like, because Anonymous itself doesn't have, I mean, there's no firm membership role. It could be that this is a splinter group of the full group of Anonymous. It could be that it's a large portion of Anonymous. It could be it's people who aren't even related to Anonymous. But, for example, there was, not that long ago, there was a whole thing about a website that was designed to, be a forum for people who suffer from epilepsy and migraine headaches. And, a group essentially created, handles within this forum and began to post images of flashing lights, things that would theoretically could set off an epileptic attack or perhaps trigger a migraine.
Yeah.
Depending on if you had that visual stimulation, if that's what set you off. And, you know, what's the point of that? Why do that besides the fact that, you know, you're just causing as much trouble as possible? Mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately, if your tactic works, you are possibly actually causing harm to another individual. I mean, in a way, that's, even if you don't want to call it terrorism, it's at least, you know, just malicious.
Yeah. Mean-spirited.
Yeah. And, you know, is that the same group that's protesting draconian practices by, you know, by another group? Is that, or is it a totally different group? I mean,
again, it could be anybody doing that and anonymous taking the blame for it, regardless of whether or not it's an anonymous member or not.
So, yeah, it's weird stuff. Yeah. I mean, there's some things that are attributed to the group that just don't really add up. But again, it could even be that there are some people who are active in Anonymous, who are at protests, who go to every single one they can, who don't really believe in the ultimate cause. They just like the noise.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that too.
It's
so
very possible.
People who just enjoy being a rabble rouser.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a place for civil disobedience. I think that is if your rights are whittled away, you start to have very few other options. But there's a right way to go about it and a wrong way to go about it. And I think maybe causing people to have epileptic seizures is possibly not the right way, but hey, you know,
we
who
don't
am
know
I
for
say?
Sure. We don't know for sure it's them.
Right. We don't know who it is. So, that's the brilliance behind Anonymous, or anyone who manages to be on the internet and not leave a easily trackable record of who they are.
And that's difficult these days.
Yeah, it's actually really tricky. In fact, a lot of the people who are in Anonymous, if you were really determined and you put enough pressure on the right people, you could figure out who most of them are.
Mm-hmm.
But it would take a lot, because you would essentially have to be able to pressure internet service providers into giving you the information about, you know, ISPs and things like that. And, or rather not ISPs, but IP addresses and things like that. And that's, most ISPs would never really do that without a court order, because it, you know, once you start violating the trust of your customers, you don't have customers anymore.
Right.
So they have a pretty good net of protection around them, but I mean, I wouldn't say they're impervious.
No.
All right.
It's a
well,
fascinating group of people.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we didn't really get into the whole trolling thing, but, a lot of the people in 4chan have also been accused of, or at least the kind of mentality that you find in 4chan is often, the 4chan random channel, I should say, is also often associated with trolling in general on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
People who just like to go to different communities and cause misery and make conversations break down into flame wars, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Just because they get their jollies out of derailing any kind of civil conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Or in this case, lulls.
Lulls, yeah. Same people who are griefers in games. They'll go on to a game and just, they're only, the way they get enjoyment from a game is by causing other people frustration.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people mentioned that before, though, in our trolls
yes,
podcast.
Yes, we did. So.
I think a lot of people eventually grow out of that, which is another reason why people will say that the folks on the random channel at 4chan seem to fall into the 15-year-old bored boy category.
Well, one of the articles I read about Anonymous suggested that a lot of them were middle-class teenage people. So
yeah, I think a lot of
sort of go along with that
the people I've seen theory. In pictures at the actual protests tend to fall into older teens and early to mid 20s based upon their build and that things like that, because in most cases they're masked.
Their masks looked very youthful.
Yeah, they were a very young Guy Fawkes.
Yeah.
And Guy Fawkes is just one of the kinds of masks they wear. It's probably one of the more popular ones, but you'll see people wear, like, you know, just the dust mask or whatever.
Right.
But at any rate, so yeah, I hope that that's a good little overview of 4chan and Anonymous. Now, granted, there's a lot more that we did not go into. These are very deep subjects, both of them, in fact. And we could probably do two or three podcasts on them if we weren't afraid of getting attacked for the lulls, which I live in constant fear of being attacked for the lulls. Please don't attack me for the lulz. It's not that funny. But are you exhausted by the subject?
Yeah, it's just one of those things that it's interesting to me because it's so hard to pin down.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand why other people would be interested in it.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, it's if it weren't for the fact that I have to disengage half of my internet browser's capabilities before I go to such a site, I would probably check it out a little more often.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's blocked on our network.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
It wasn't back when I was researching trolls.
True.
Lesson learned. All right. Well, I guess that'll bring us around to our second bout of listener mail. This listener mail comes from Emily. Emily says, Chris and Jonathan, thanks for a Better Than Josh and Chuck podcast. Even though it was a while ago, I have a comment on your 2038 podcast. I have a Palm Pilot M505 that runs with Legacy. I've tried many times to download the software that allows me to use the email application and sync the Palm with my computer. It does not work. There is no version of the software that works with newer systems like Windows Vista. In the process, I also discovered that there is no tech support for old Palms. If the same thing happens with most machines that run with Legacy, it will not work with many other computers, and when that person encounters a problem, they will not be able to fix it. So unless this person is very intent on keeping the system because it is ancient and willing to spend the money they could use to buy a new system on fixing the old one, the person should get a new system. Thanks, and keep podcasting. Your ninth grade devotee, Emily. She says, by the way, I love puns, pie, and awful jokes, three things you won't get on Stuff You Should Know. And by the way, could you talk about internet blocking systems like the ones in place at school that don't allow you to go on Facebook or YouTube?
That's funny that she should mention that.
Sure. Why is that?
Because we were just talking about
it, yes.
firewalls.
4chan. Yeah, firewalls. Yeah, it's essentially a firewall. I mean, there are many different versions and variations of the firewall, but it's not that hard. It can either be hardware or software. And you just, most of them have a setting where you can tell it specific URLs that, it will not, allow people to access.
Mm-hmm.
So you try and go to it and you'll get a message back saying you can't access that site. Many of them will come with a list pre-programmed of, of URLs that are known to be either time sucks, like Facebook and Twitter, or, have questionable content on them, like 4chan.
There you go. I mean, it's sort of like a set of parental controls for an entire network.
Right.
So.
And it seems to me like she was talking about Legacy as being a kind of a specific program. What we're talking about when we're talking about legacy systems is not necessarily a specific program, but older programs that have been used within an organization for years and years and years, and there is no longer any support for them because the company that created it is no longer around or has moved on to other systems and no longer supports it. That's what a legacy system is.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the original Palm OS is sort of in that boat because,
yes.
You know, it still functions. As a matter of fact, Linux has a, built-in support for it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you have to go to third-party clients at this point to get support for the Palm OS. And I think that in a lot of cases, they're just going to let it drop now, especially with the new Web OS that comes
the
with
Webos.
The Weebos.
The Webos.
That comes with the Palm Pre and the Pixie.
Yes. And Emily may very well have meant that. It was just kind of difficult to tell from the way she phrased that. So
sure.
I just wanted to cover all the bases there. Well, thanks for the email, Emily, and thanks, Jack, for your question that started off this whole podcast. If any of you have any questions, suggestions, anything like that, send us an email, techstuff@howstuffworks.com. Remember, every Tuesday at 1 p.m., we have Tech Stuff Live, and you can check that out at the blogs at howstuffworks.com. Just look on the right-hand side. You'll see the links there. Chris and I will talk to you again, possibly anonymously, really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the new TechStuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.